Now, Ken reminded me, it's commercial time. I actually have the law of Moses without the veil. A whole, what is it, three sermon series? Four. Okay? Have that. And then this one, the three most important days, that is Sabbath, Passover, and the holy days are all bunched in as one. Okay? Not one day, but one category. The third category. Okay? And they are the most important. Why is that? Because on the days that God has set, that's when he places his spirit there, wherever his people are gathered together. Okay? That's why. Okay? It's like an appointment. And what does it say in Leviticus 23? These are appointed times. So God has made an appointment with us. We determine the time of the day that we'll come together. Okay? Now, before we get to Psalm 119, let's answer the question, what happens when the veil is removed and the carnality has been exposed for what it is and you want to overcome it? Well, let's come back here to Romans, the 8th chapter first. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That means you don't have the Spirit of God in you. Okay? And what generally happens when you don't have the Spirit of God or you let the Spirit of God go away, then you start having strange doctrines and strange teachings. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. And the Spirit of God is such that we can stir it up, as he says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Stir up the Spirit of God which is in you. How do you do that? By prayer, by study, by yielding to God, by learning from all the situations that you go through. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, what did Peter tell the Sanhedrin? Now, these were the ones who thought they were the closest to God. You had the chief priest, you had the other high priest, you had the Levites, you had the elders, all gathered together in the Sanhedrin. And they arrested the apostles because they were preaching Christ when they told them not to. And they were ready to kill them. So what did Peter say? He said, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Now, they were all of the flesh. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They could have had the Spirit of God. But they didn't want to humble themselves to be baptized. They didn't want to humble themselves to learn of Christ. They wanted Christ to come to him. Wanted Christ to come to them, rather, instead of them coming to Christ. And that's the way it is with fake Christianity in the world. They have their devices of doing what they are doing. And it looks very good to the carnal mind. Okay? Now let's continue on, verse 10. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God's Spirit leading in us, to guide us, to direct us. Remember what he said about hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You shall be filled. Okay? So hungering and thirsting means you are taking spiritual meals every day by study through God's Spirit. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells within you. So there are the two parts of the Spirit of God. Okay? So then, brethren, We are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you by the Spirit are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So here's the key. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? And that's what we are. Now, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter, and see another one. See? And this is very important. Now, to the world, they don't have a clue as to what's going on. So Paul says, verse 25, concerning the church, of which I became a servant according to the administration of God. That's the administration of the Spirit that was given to me for you in order to complete the Word of God. And he knew he had to do the writings and finish the Word of God. Then when he finished them, he sent them all to Peter. What did Peter say in the third chapter of 2 Peter? He said that Paul, in all of his epistles, so he had all of them, wrote in them some things which are very difficult to understand. And yes, some of them are. Okay? That's why you need the Spirit of God to understand it, see? Okay? Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. The world doesn't know. The only ones who really know are those who are in the true church of God. And there are many congregations in many places. But now has been revealed to his saints. How is that revealed? By his Holy Spirit, after the circumcision of the heart, and you are hungering and thirsting after God's way. God's Spirit will be there to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to give you understanding. Okay. Now notice, to whom God did will, it is the will of God to the saints to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now then, how's that going to be? Come to Hebrews 10. Let's see, this is the covenant. Hebrews 10, and let's pick it up here, verse 14. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. For by one offering, see, remember this, everything that is in the Old Testament that tells us the things we need to do, there is a higher spiritual fulfillment in the New Testament that we need to follow. And so, we have it here. Okay? By one offering, his sacrifice. That's why all of the sacrifices have been set aside. He has obtained eternal perfection. Now that's what I gave last night on GoToMeeting, the perfect work of God. For those who are sanctified, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant I will establish with them after those days. Now that's the finishing of the ministry of Jesus Christ, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Now, how did Paul describe this in another place? Let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. Okay? So what we are talking about with this is what Paul writes as the mind of Christ. Now this is something we need to yearn for, and we develop by conversion over a process of time through the power of the Holy Spirit. God does the spiritual work. We put forth the effort and the love and the intensity to do it. So he says here, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now how did Christ look at the laws of God and the Word of God. Remember, we just ended up with the great commandment. Okay? Now we're going to go to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at a good number of verses here. And let me just explain a little bit about this psalm. And it has 176 verses, not 174. Now, you see listed over each 8-verse section. Now, to show you what the Levitical singers had to do, they had to memorize this to sing in the temple. Now, you look at the Hebrew letter Alpha. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Beth is the second, Gimel is the third, Daleth is the fourth, etc., all through 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Every section has 8 verses. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Okay? You might do some real reading and studying in Psalm 119, and you will see that there are a lot of verses in there which we could identify as Christ, especially for the things that he went through and the enemies after him and so forth. Okay? So we can say this is an example of how Christ would have thought of the laws of God. And if we're to let the mind of Christ be in us, and if he's going to write his commandments and his laws in our hearts and in our minds, what does that do? Think about this. What does it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? And we all have enough of carnality in us that sometimes what comes out, we realize is still there and we got to get rid of. You know? Okay. So let's start right here in verse 1. Now, notice how many verses say blessed. Okay. Notice the attitude here, and especially since there, as I've mentioned before, there are 135 I's in this psalm. But this is a good use of I because it is the writer, the person, actually, if we can put it this way, Christ in us, showing us how we need to look at these things. See? Verse 1. Blessed are undefiled in the way. The New Testament is the way of truth, right? What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Okay. In the way. God's way is always a way of living. It's not a religion that you practice on a certain day, and then the rest of the week you live your life the way that you want to. And then come back on that certain day again, and you feel righteous. No, it is a way that you live all the time. Even talks about even your sleep. Now notice, he describes the way. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. And those are other sayings of God based on the Word of God. And, now this is very important, seek him with the whole heart. That's what God wants. See? If you don't seek him with the whole heart, if you have part of your mind that you still go to the world in, and part of your mind that you think you can come to God in, then you're double-minded. And what happens to the double-minded? It says in James, the first chapter, you're unstable. Okay? God wants us single-minded, with a whole heart, our whole being. That's what he desires. They also do no iniquity. Doesn't mean you don't sin, but you don't go out and plan to rob. You don't go out and plan to commit adultery. You don't go out and plan to bear false witness. You don't go out and plan to bow down to an idol or take God's name in vain or break the Sabbath. Okay. They walk in his ways. Not, see? It says, undefiled in a way who walk in the law of God, they walk in his ways. So it's the law of God and his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Now, then he laments. What happens when you read all of these things and you can't make it? Well, you cry out to God and he'll help you. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? All. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. Now, think about it. We're all learning. We're still learning, right? And as I brought out last night, we're all taught of God. How are we taught of God? We have the Word of God, which comes out of his mouth. What did Jesus say about living by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, correct? Okay, so we have that. We have the ability to read and study, correct? We have God's Spirit to lead and guide us, correct? Yes. This is how we develop the mind of Christ. Okay. Now, verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Okay. Now, let's come down here to verse 9. We'll take the next couple of verses. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? Or, young woman? Or, old man? God says he will not forsake us when we're old and gray. We can be thankful for that. By taking heed according to your word. So when we read it and see it or hear it, we're to what? Do it. That's what means taking heed. With all my heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Now notice verse 11. Your word I have laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Now how does that work? Have you ever gone along and you're thinking what you're going to do, and something comes along that you see isn't right and you don't do it? Why don't you do it? Because what's in your heart and in your mind. See? And that's what God is interested in. Okay? Come down here to verse 15. No, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Now think about this. If we're going to inherit eternal life, which we are, and if we're going to have access to whatever God gives us access to, being the universe, now we don't know how that's going to be, how much do we have to learn? I really believe this, that after the resurrection, we're going to learn more than we ever did while we're living in the flesh, huh? And we're going to need to, because we're going to be living in a spirit world. Okay? Amazing. Okay, verse 18. This one I like. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And this is a prayer we all ought to pray so we can understand God's law even more. How much is in there that we can learn? Well, only God can show us. Okay, verse 23. Even though princes sat and spoke against me. Now, doesn't that sound like Christ? Did they all speak against him? All the leaders? Your servant did meditate on your statutes. In other words, Christ always kept his mind on God the Father. And you can read this in John many times. I do what the Father taught me. I do what I see the Father do. I do what the one who sent me commanded me to do. all the way through the book of John. Okay? Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. Now notice how many times we come to the way. Okay? And so shall I speak of your wonderful works. Now, let's add this to what should be for all elders and ministers. Paul wrote to the Jew, you who boast in the law and tell others what to do, do you not teach yourself? See? So, we need to stay close to God all the time. Continuously study. We can never say that because we've done this for so many years, now we have everything we need to know to teach. Not so. Okay? Make me to know the way of your precepts, and so shall I speak of your wonderful works. Now that's quite a thing. Okay? Verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Isn't that the easiest and simplest thing that you do beginning when you're able to speak to your mama? And she says, did you do it? Lying is natural. Even Paul says, lie not to one another. See? So he's saying, even those in the church, you can be subject to lying. And that doesn't mean you have to speak everything you know, but don't lie. Okay? And grant me your law graciously. Now take this one verse and think about it. If you're lying, you're not going to understand the laws of God, right? But if you have God's law granted, now look at the word graciously. Uh-oh, Protestants are in trouble, right? They believe in grace. But look, that's used to modify law. Okay? So this is how you get rid of lying. Okay? Now notice verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have laid your judgments before me. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? That's why we're here. We have chosen the way of truth. And that begins with repentance and in baptism, and we keep growing in grace and knowledge. Okay. Verse 31. I cleave to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Now think about that. That isn't going to give you an enlarged heart. You go to the doctor and say, oh, you got an enlarged heart. Well, Lord, well, doctor, the Lord gave me an enlarged heart. That doesn't mean that. It means he's going to give you expanded knowledge. Okay? Now, verse 33. Notice this all the way through. You'll find many verses this way. Teach me, O Lord. And that's where I started out last night. We're all taught of God. How? Through his word, by his spirit, by living. See? Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. In other words, as long as I live. Verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. Now you see there, look at this. These are all converted attitudes toward the laws of God. See? This is why. When we get converted, we're going to keep the laws of the land. Okay? We're not going to go out and be lawless. We're going to treat our neighbors decently. We're going to love each other. We're going to love God. And what does Paul say? What does he say of that behavior? Against such there is no law. See? Because it's all doing the will of God. Okay? Verse 35. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments. Now, God isn't going to come down and force you, but to give you the spiritual ability to do it. Okay? The path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Now come down here to verse 44. Now all the rest of the verses in between, you need to read and study. I know in going through in this Bible, I've got it all marked up and I've circled every I. See? This is a good use of I because it's from you to God. See? It's not asking God, make me great. It's from you to God, help me with your way. Okay, verse 44. Verse 44. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Now think on that. In the kingdom of God, they're going to be what? Laws. Right? Yes, indeed. Verse 45. I will walk at liberty. In other words, you're walking correctly and there are no stumbling stones in front of you. For I seek your precepts. Okay? Verse 46. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And Paul did that, didn't he? Christ did that, didn't he? Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 47. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. Now you have this attitude, what? What will this do? This means you'll willingly want to study. You willingly want to learn of God's way. You willingly doing these things. Not, well, I know I need to study, but I just have something more important to do. Okay. That doesn't work that way too good. Verse 48. I will lift up my hands unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate on your statutes. That's quite a thing. Okay? Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your way has given me life. So regardless of the trial, the outcome of everything is what? Eternal life. See? We're all going to come to the point we're going to return to dust. And the longer that I'm living, the more I see that's where I'm headed. And same with a lot, like I mentioned last night. When someone dies in the faith, God is harvested. Okay? And he's got them all in storage for the resurrection. And think what that's going to be. The whole army to take over the world is waiting, sleeping in their graves. And what a fantastic thing that's going to be to the world when they're all raised. Lots of times I think about it. Here's the big sea of glass up there. Seventh trump sounds. And I don't know if they're going to start at the international date line, but that's where day begins. And all of a sudden, in all the chaos that's going on, and just after the two witnesses have been raised, there are people coming out of the grave in New Zealand and Australia and whatever country there is there, and into Europe and into all around the world. And all those saints who have been killed, they're all raised. And I think the world is going to see them. I mean, why are they going to be willing so desperately to fight against Christ? They're thinking, oh, look at they're taking people. Aliens have come to conquer the world. True. We're aliens to this world. So is Christ. Okay? Now let's go on. Okay? Yes, that your word has given me life. Now remember what Jesus said. The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. See? There's a New Testament fulfillment of that right there. Okay, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. Very interesting. Right? All the word of God. Verse 58. I entreated your favor with all my heart. Be gracious unto me according to your word. Now that's how he prayed to God. Quite a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just think how Jesus prayed. He had everything against him. Satan, the demons, all the authorities. And remember, most of his preaching was not in Jerusalem. His preaching was more in Galilee and the whole area there. So when the scribes and Pharisees and priests wanted to know what he was doing, they had to send officials to find out. Okay? That's quite something. Now, I've been thinking upon this recently. The birth of Christ. When he was born, no one knew it, except two little shepherds out in the field. Okay? David did not have a house in Bethlehem. They didn't live there. But he was to come from the house of David from Bethlehem, which he did because he was born there. But not in a house. And then what happened? When the Magi came, because they came from the east to find out where the king of the Jews would live, king of Israel, he was born. Herod wanted to know, where was he? Herod wasn't going to give up his throne. Okay, so what happened? Angel told Joseph, pick everybody up and go to Egypt. Okay, now they had plenty of money to go because the wise men brought some gold and other things too. So they left. And Herod, in a rage, killed everyone 2 years and younger. Okay, was in Egypt. Anyone know about him there? No? Then they went back and where? They went back and came to Nazareth. And he would go every year up to Jerusalem, keeping the feast. And then one feast of unleavened bread, when he was 12 years old, he stayed back and all the rest of the company were going back to Nazareth. And they went out 3 days before they noticed Jesus was missing. So Mary and Joseph came back looking for him, all frantic, and they found him sitting in the middle of all of these wise, important people questioning them and answering questions, and they were astonished at his knowledge. Why? Because God the Father was the one teaching him. Okay? And so Mary and Joseph didn't know what to do. So they said, Mary said, why have you done this to us? And he said, I have to be about my Father's business. That shook him up. So had Jesus been born with fanfare and trumpets and parades and political meetings? Hey, no. They didn't even know it. The first clue they had was what? John the Baptist. Now that was quite a thing. That was kept secret. 70-year-old woman become pregnant. The wife of a priest, and the priest who had the vision couldn't even speak. So that's something. The whole thing is entirely different than people suppose. All right, let's consider it. Let's go on with this, okay? Let's come to 66, okay? Teach me good judgment. Boy, we all need that, don't we? And knowledge, for I have believed your commandments. Okay? Verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Now, I haven't done this, but go through and look up every time it says teach me. Teach me, teach me, teach me. Okay? Verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, wouldn't that be something? I often think of this. You have two tables, okay, in a dark room. One table has on it lots of gold and silver. It's a big, 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 big table filled with gold and silver. And the other table is a little old table, and it's got a book on it. And the door is open, and you're told, I want you to choose which is the most important and most valuable. Person goes in there and looks at it, looks at this little table, then looks at this big table and everything that's on it. Almost everyone will take this one, right? All the gold, all the silver. Especially if this book here is worn and tattered, you know. But this will not lead to eternal life. But this will lead to eternal life. What do you want? So that's quite a thing. All right? Let's come down here to verse 78. Now that's interesting. There are four let in a row. Okay? So we'll take all four. Verse 77. Let your tender mercies come to me so that I may live. For your law is my delight. Isn't that interesting? What is the carnal mind toward law? Enmity. The opposite. Let the proud be ashamed, for with guile they have wronged me. That's directly to Christ. Even though it may have happened to David. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. This is also of Christ. And those who have known your testimonies, let my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Now that's interesting. Four of them in a row. Okay? Now let's come down here to 89. Here's one that's very powerful. Anyone want to know about the Word of God, if anything is been done away? Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. Now, where in the New Testament is that upheld? Okay, hold your place and come to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Now, this is not translated correctly in almost all Bibles. And the Catholics especially don't translate it correctly. All right? Now, after Peter said, verse 16, for you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered and said, you're blessed. Okay. Now, verse 18, for I say to you that you are Peter, and Peter means a little stone. That's Petros. And upon this rock, that's referring to himself. This means massive cliff, or the cornerstone of the building, as it were. On this rock I will build my church. He's not going to build it on any man. Okay? And the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. It says in the King James, the gates of hell. Okay? But it's the grave. Now notice, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you may bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And that's the correct translation. Okay? You're not going to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Right? Why? Because the Word of God has been settled in heaven already. So this means you search the Word of God for the correct answer for whatever you need to bind or loose. You just don't do it at a whim. See? And whatever you may loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. That's why you need the whole Word of God. Now, the Catholics use this over and over and over almost every Sunday to pound it into the heads of the Catholics that the Pope is the head of the church and the one who is the replacement of Christ. Okay? But there it is, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. All right? Verse 92. Verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Because when you have trials and afflictions, you're trusting God, knowing that it's all going to work out. Okay? Okay, verse 97. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, what does that do? Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. That is the commandments. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Now think about that for a minute. What do they always promote? Great books to read. The books of philosophers, right? Can't be compared to this. Okay. Let's come to 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Is that something? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I have understanding. I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now we'll see how that's fulfilled in the New Testament. Remember what Paul said about those who try and change the gospel. Okay. I don't have time to go through all of them. I'll let you do that, but I want to cover just a few here. Let's come to 142. Yes. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. See? So why would you want to do away with it and get rid of truth? That's nonsense. 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord, according to your judgments. Give me life. All right? 160. 160. Your word is true from the beginning. Now you tie this together with the one, your word is established in heaven forever. Your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous ordinances endure forever. Well, I'll let you read more of it. This is how you can understand the Bible when the veil is removed through the circumcision of Christ, that you won't get involved in things of men's religious practices, but you will always check it out with the Word of God and prove it by that. That is the mind of Christ. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.